Testing, testing. Good. Okay, well, it's 3 o'clock on my watch, so let's get started. Good afternoon, Gold Coast. You guys can do better than that. Good afternoon, Ignite. Woo! Good to see some excitement. You know, it's not even the first day is not yet over quite. But my name is Christoph. I work for Microsoft, based in sunny Redmond. And this particular session is really part one of two. And I'll be talking about what are we doing in the space of collaborations in this brave new world that I'm sure you're all experiencing at your respective organization. So basically, like I said, part one of two, I've got a session right after that in a bigger room downstairs where I'll go deeper into one of the specific topics. So again, I want to set expectation. This is a 200-level session, whereas the one in the afternoon are the one after that, yes, I'll be doing some PowerShell and some administration and some deeper dive with respect to Office 365 groups. The topic that I'm going to be covering, you know, and yes, I'll have slides, demo, and I'll talk about roadmap, but is this notion of, okay, what are we doing in the space of collaborations? And I'm sure, you know, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm sure some of you have some version of Exchange, either on-premises or in the cloud, some version of Exchange, either on-premises or in the cloud, and Office and Link and Skype for Business and more. And you know, if you've been following the news and some of the announcement we made recently for the past year and plus, there's a number of things we've been releasing. And my goal here in the next 75 minutes is try to give you an overview of what are we doing from a product strategy, you know, what are the problems we're trying to solve, and again, give you a glimpse of some of those new experiences that we've been working on back in the Redmond kitchen. And then a quick introduction. Our team back in Redmond, you know, we're on the product marketing side, and our team focuses on what we call the modern collaboration workload. So our team manages things like Yammer, Office 365 Group, Office Graph and Delve, and some others that I cannot name today because we're still under NDA. And last but not least, I got to say this. I'm here for until Thursday, so obviously today's busy because we've got sessions back-to-back, but I'll be around hopefully to answer any questions after this or after the next sessions, and I'll definitely be around all day tomorrow, and including I'll be at Ask the Experts. So if you get any questions, definitely reach out, and I'd love to sit down and meet with you. So let's get started. Again, the topic du jour is what are we doing in the world of collaboration? And you know, I'm sure you've all experienced this. In your personal life, at work, but you know, collaboration has evolved, and you know, the expectations now is like, hey, I need maybe on today, today's Tuesday, maybe on Tuesday, there's an escalation from one of my customers, and I need to form a team to react to that customer needs, and I need the deliverable to be by the end of the week. So, you know, I need to form, grab the experts from my team, whether it's someone from my team or just someone that has the expertise, go figure out, solve that issue. And then, you know, disband that project and go back to whatever business as usual on Monday. So this notion that I potentially need to leverage the collective knowledge of my organizations, solve the issue, and then go back to business as usual is something we're seeing quite a bit. The other angle here, which I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir, especially here in Australia, where you guys are a fairly early adopters of new technology, but you know, the rise of mobile, social networks, to name a few, has also introduced new forms of collaborations and also changed the expectations that I might have on getting a project done, on getting something to the finish line. Now, to give you a little double click on what we mean by some of those challenges that we see in collaboration, in this slide, you know, I tried to list three common challenges. And again, this is by no means an exhaustive set of challenges that you might experience at your respective teams in IT or in whatever industries you represent today. But the first challenge is, you know, help me get started quickly. And how many times in your organization someone's trying to, again, react to a customer need and needs to form a team, and yet it's going to take a couple days, couple hours, couple weeks to get a distribution list, to get a team site, to get whatever it is that shared space again, I'm going to use to get work done. And again, if my team is tasked to solve that problem by Friday, I don't have time to wait for a week. I need a shared space right now to get to resolve that issue. And you know what's going to happen. If you don't provide an easy way to get started, you know what Christoph's going to do, right? He's going to probably create a group on WhatsApp or whatever the alternative on his phone, right? And suddenly that's outside of IT, definitely shadow IT, outside of compliance, and you get things in the well. But that's the expectation. I don't have time to wait for a month to get my SharePoint team set up to collaborate with that virtual team. So I need to get started quickly. Second thing is we get diverse need in terms of collaboration. And again, back to what we're experiencing in our personal life, you know, I'm sure on your phone, you probably have Facebook Messenger, you probably have a WhatsApp. I don't know what's fashionable here in Australia, depending on your age group, but I'm sure you can add more and more messaging. And you probably have a couple email apps as well, right? Nothing wrong with Outlook or Hotmail. So you get a gazillion apps to collaborate. Another way that I explain this is Christoph is traveling. And you know, when I'm traveling, you know, I tend to have smaller screen factors in my pocket. And you know, if I've got, you know, I'm obviously working. Oops, I go back one slide. Doing back in time. If I'm collaborating on a project, and let's say I'm traveling, and I've got a smaller form factors, I might use a different way to collaborate than when I'm back in the office with a full screen setup. And the example is typically, I'm traveling here. I need a response from engineering for one of my demo. I don't have time to send an email. I'm just going to ping them on Skype for Business. I'm going to IM so-and-so. I need the latest iOS build so I can demo. What did I do again? I can demo, pardon me. I can do a beautiful Ignite presentation. Another example is obviously being here in a very different time zone than when I'm used to. I'm going to rely probably on more synchronous communications, more emails, and things like Yammer, because I know a lot of those engineers hopefully are asleep at the time I'm asking them to fix or provide feedback on. So I'm not going to be, whereas in Redmond, I might just barge in their office or just have a quick video chat. Here, being in a different time zone, I might use asynchronous, right? So anyway, the same person, that's the example I'm explaining, I have different collaboration needs throughout the day for the, potentially the same project. And then to expand that further, even within your organization, one team in IT might use one tool, another team might use another tool. And same thing in marketing, same thing in sales, right? So we all have different need to collaborate. You know, at the end of the day, I mean, it's the same goal. We want to, whatever, the objective of the project, we want to get to the finish line as quickly as possible. And then the last, one stat I throw typically for number two is, pardon me, I don't have the number in the U.S., but sorry, I don't have the number in Australia, but in the U.S., on average, a person opens 27.5 apps on a monthly basis or uses 27.5 apps on their phone. And, you know, and then six out of top 10 most popular downloads on iTunes are messaging apps. So again, it shows you the diversity of apps that people use to whatever they're trying to get done with all those apps. The last challenge we're seeing in collaboration is this notion of discovery, which is, okay, great. I got to form a team to solve this escalation. How do I find the expert? How do I find potentially the ABC of solving that issue or whatever knowledge that my organizations have already figured out before me on how to tackle that issue? This notion of discovery. And to stress the point, typically what I throw is McKinsey did a study in 2012, so about 3 years ago. On average, on an average work week, workers worldwide spend 19% looking for information. Think about that. A fifth of your work week is looking for information. Let me say it in French. Think of how much time you spent looking for emails. You can't find it. You search in SharePoint. You can't find it. And so forth. And you might still not find what you're looking for. So again, a fifth of our time is spent looking for things. Think of the issue that's creating in collaboration. Because if I'm looking for things, not only I can't find stuff, that means I'm going to be constantly reinventing the wheel over and over. Not very efficient, right? And potentially costly as an organization, because I'm not very agile. Christoph's got to recreate the budget, recreate the marketing campaign, recreate the sales proposal, and so forth. So those are the common challenges. Hopefully some of those, they resonate in the world of collaboration. What are we doing about it from a product strategy perspective? So hold on to your seat and pay attention to this slide. This is probably the most important slide in the deck. So how are we tackling those issues? And basically, I gotta apologize. Here we go. We changed my slide last night and they made a mistake. Here we go. And you do that build again. So basically, we made a number of deliveries this year, and you know, we've delivered an intelligent fabric that connects teams to modern application and other choice. So let me explain what we're doing from product strategy. First of all, we got a common infrastructure that spans Office 365. Hopefully you attended the keynote and some of the presentations from my peers earlier, but we made tremendous strides in terms of security, compliance, identity across 365. I mean, back to the point I was making earlier, at the end of the day, you'll see when I talk about the apps, all those apps, regardless of the app that I use to collaborate, we should all leverage a common set of infrastructure where Christoph, the representation of the identity as a user, should be the same across, and so forth. So that's what we mean by infrastructure. And then above that, that's where it gets interesting. The first thing we delivered this year back in January is Office 365 Group. And Office 365 Group was a fairly easy problem to solve, which is, if I'm forming that team, I should only do it once, and that team, the membership and some properties, should be leveraged across the suite. I shouldn't have to manage permissions in SharePoint, permissions in distribution lists, a group in Skype for Business, and so forth. It should just be one definition to rule them all. And that's what Office 365 Group is. Again, I'll be double-clicking on that this afternoon. But for all the IT pro in the room, I think most of you are IT pro, at the end of the day, this is an Azure Active Directory object that we're creating on the back end when you create a team. Above that, there's another key important aspect, key ingredient of that intelligent fabric that is called the Office Graph. And that's something we've delivered in April. When I say delivered, that's when we released it worldwide. And the idea is, we know what you're doing day in, day out. You know, what documents you're editing, what emails you're sending, what meetings you're attending, what messages you're sharing in Yammer, what Skype call you're doing, and so forth. And we can learn what matters to you and what's important to you, and then we can do that to all your colleagues in your organization. And then we apply a little bit of machine learning on top of that, and then we can really figure out, hey, here's what's relevant to you, Christoph. At this moment in time, here on the Gold Coast, let me show you why this proposal from Sarah, why is this conversation from Angus is sorted in the first and second order on your Dell board. So I'll show you that. I think this is by far the most exciting thing we've done in productivity that has come out of the Redmond Kitchen, and it's delivered a tremendous amount of value, and hopefully I'll demo that when I'll show you the demo later. So we got Office Graph on groups. And by the way, the groups, again, it's meant to tackle that notion of helping people get started very quickly. And then the graph is really meant to tackle this notion of discovery. Again, that 19% pain point that I, wrong machine, this one. So on top of those, that intelligent fabric, you get a set of applications that leverages either leverages today or will leverage in the future some of those foundational that I talked about. And you know, I'm not going to go through all those bubbles, all those applications, but you know, on the far left, you get something like Office. And again, in the world of collaboration, you know, I'm sure there's a day where you get a co-author, a budget, a presentation, a proposal, and you name it, a OneNote, and so forth. So that's why Office is there. And then as you move along, you get application. You might be wondering, hey, Christoph, why is Outlook there? And I'll talk about that next, but the point is, like, some of those applications, like Outlook, are now leveraging some of those, that intelligent fabric that I was mentioning earlier. And then as I go down the spectrum, you get obviously things like Skype for Business, SharePoint, Yammer, And then to the far right, you get some emerging experiences, things like Planner, that I'll be demoing, not in this session, but in the next one, which is really this notion of, potentially as a team, I might need a lighter weight task management system to drive this specific project that I'm working on to the finish line. A couple other notes on this slide. Notice the ellipse at the very end, the dot, dot, dot. Bless you. That means, this is not an exhaustive list of all the apps you might use to collaborate at your organizations. And to do another shameless plug for my next session, I'll show you Power BI and Dynamics CRM, which are, again, typically vertical type solutions that you might use if you're in sales or if you're a data insights guru. And the last point on the ellipse is, obviously, we're not going to stop there, and we're going to continue to innovate to, again, provide awesome experiences to help team collaborate. So that the last point I want to make on those bubbles is, again, this one caters to what I was mentioning earlier, that there's diverse needs. And depending on the form factor I have, depending on the urgency, depending on my preference and affinity, I might use some of those apps, one or multiple apps, throughout the day or throughout the week. Any questions before I move on? I don't know if we can take questions here. I don't see a mic, but I'll repeat the question. Sure. Yes?
Just curious, because YAML was obviously being pushed a while ago, but now groups is obviously a different thing that's being pushed. So I was sort of feeling that there's a bit of a... So getting confused between whether to go down the YAML path for collaboration or now to go down groups.
So the question to repeat for everyone is, hey, I see that YAML is there. What's the difference between YAML and Office 365 groups? And so, I'll talk about next, YAML is alive and kicking, and I'll show you, for instance, some of the proof points from Gartner. And you can start, don't mix the membership that is Office 365 groups from the experience that is YAML. Like Office 365 group is just an object in Azure Active Directory. You can't do much with that object. You interact with it through some of those experiences. But since you're asking, yes, YAML will leverage that single membership, and that's part of the roadmap slides that I've got later. So that in the future, maybe next Ignite, when I'm back here, I don't know if I'll be invited back, but I'll show you that I can, let's say I started with YAML, because I love YAML, it gives me all the discovery, and that's my tool of choice. When I create a group in YAML, what I'll do on the back end, I'll create one of those AAD objects, and because it's a single object that spans the entire suite, guess what I'll see in my YAML? I might leverage the shared calendar powered by Exchange. I might leverage OneNote that's also understand this notion of membership. I might leverage task management. I mean, all those workloads that you don't have in YAML today that will light up because we'll integrate with that single membership. So to close on the question of which tool should I start, again, don't mix the membership, that is Office 365 group, from the experience. A better question would be, hey, should I start in email or should I start in YAML? And the answer to that latter question is like, hey, it depends how much cultural change you're willing to take. Both are okay. Typically, we're saying like, you can use Outlook conversations if your team is maybe using distribution lists today, because it's an incremental change. You're not going to rock people's world too much. Whereas if you want to do a broader cultural change at your organization and also see a lot of discovery of what everyone's doing, then the recommendation is to use YAML. But again, like what I want to stress is like one size doesn't fit all. I mean, you can have the same argument with SharePoint versus YAML or SharePoint versus Outlook and so forth, or Skype for that reason. And the point is like, very well that there's one community of interest might be great in YAML and a specific project might be great in Outlook conversations or it might be great in SharePoint. And that's what we meant to say. We're not saying like SharePoint is moving away. SharePoint might be a very valid use case for a specific team that has specific needs, pretty much like all those things. So we're saying, hey, there's diverse needs, and it's not a one-size-fits-all. So it's not like, hey, everyone should be using email, or everyone should be using SharePoint, or everyone should be using YAML or Skype, and so forth. We're saying some team might use YAML, some team might use SharePoint, and others might leverage the files aspect that are powered by Office 365 Group. So lengthy answer. I'll show you again in the demo, but what we've done with YAML, and then what we're going to do specifically with Office 365 groups. Okay, I'll just move on to be, I'm seeing the clock tick. So actually, that's a perfect segue to jump into demonstrations. Okay. So switch to my demo machine. And the first thing I'll do is what you're looking at is my inbox and a demo tenant. So I'm not going to go over what an inbox is. I'm sure you're fairly familiar with that. What I want you to focus your attention on is below my inbox, I got this thing called groups. And before I demo, I want to stress, this is a production multi-tenant environment. So everything you're going to see in this demo for this session are available today. In the next session, I'll show you some of the things that aren't lit up in your Office 365 tenant, things like Planner and so forth. But here, so I can create a group. And let me tell you, pretty much what we've, Yammer pioneered this notion of self-service. Again, we've taken it to the entire suite. So I'll say, hello, Gold Coast. So here I've got a little form here. I can type a name. And you can see I can set privacy, public or private, and I can pick a language. I just hit create. And I can add some colleagues here. I got Sarah and Alex. And voila. Takes a couple seconds. And here you go. So I've created a group. So I made an entry in Azure Active Directory. And then you'll see some of those experiences are wired to that Office 365 groups experience. So for instance, there's a couple of things that you get when you do that. And you can see here the list. You know, I got a set of conversations. I got a shared calendar. I got a shared files and shared notebook. So for instance, in a conversation, you know, I can easily, I can at mention Janet. Welcome to our project group. So I can easily start a conversation. And again, this is, bless you, my goodness, all you guys are sick. So I can start a conversation here. I'm actually going to switch to something that has a little bit more data. So here I've got another group that I created for this environment. And you can see here, if I click to files, I get a shared set of files. You might see OneDrive here in the UI, but it's actually underneath the covers. It's actually SharePoint Online. So think of a document library and some of the usual things you can do with a document in a SharePoint document library, like co-authoring, and yes, you get, a recycle bin and stuff like that you can do, and you can move files around. A group has a shared calendar. So you can see that. A little slow. So in blue is my calendar. In green is my calendar. And if I turn that off, you can see the shared calendar. And I realize because I changed my time zone, it looks kind of odd. So here's the here's another shared calendar that I add for another project. And I can add this to my calendar so I make sure I don't miss it. So it makes it on my calendar app I've got on my whatever phone I've got. And then the last thing I wanted to show you is a shared notebook. And in this case, a shared notebook is OneNote. You know, it's our big bet for note-taking, whatever you're doing, ideations or note-taking for your team. So one thing you can do to continue to show you the mobile experience, because I'm sure HC. Let me show you, continue this on mobile. Okay, here we go. So that same experience, we got an app available on iOS, Android, and Windows Phone. So I've launched that app, and you can see I get those same groups that I created earlier, whatever the project du jour is. And to make this a little fun, I'll just take a little picture of you guys. Here we go. Smile. You're on camera. And then I'll use that. Hello, Gold Coast. And I'll just post this. You know, I can look at conversations. One of my favorite thing on this app is actually the ability to look at files on my phone. And again, that's a gap today we got with SharePoint, but here we fixed it, where I can view all those files that the team is using to collaborate. And similarly, I can also view the team notebook here. So that's the Outlook groups. Office 365 groups wired into this app that obviously pivots around conversations that gives me access to all those workloads on my favorite mobile device. And then switching now to the second part, let me go back to the web. That's feedback for the Australian team. Like, we need to put the switcher here. So it looks kind of rude every time I'm dashing behind. So actually, before I go to Delve, let me show you Yammer, and I'll finish on Delve. So here I'm going to launch Yammer. So again, to repeat the question earlier, Yammer is not wired to Office 365 group. That's what we're going to do in the first half of next year. So here, a couple things I want to call out in Yammer is, first of all, what we've done about a year ago, we've wired Yammer to use the same identity that's managed in Azure Active Directory. So notice here, you know, you see that I just went to Yammer by just clicking on the waffle, and here you go, you get Yammer. So from an end user, you know, it's the same navigation. I can go back and forth depending on what I need to do. And then from an IT perspective, that means, you know, it's the same identity. You only have to manage the endpoint or the identity for Christoph in one place. And if Christoph is booted off the island, you know, if he was a student and he's going to go back to uni, then you just remove him from your Active Directory, and then suddenly Christoph is booted off all the endpoints, whether it's iPhone or web. So that's something we've done. The other thing we've done with Yammer is, and we rolled that one, I think it was in the spring, which is the idea that for file viewing, you know, we used to rely when we made the acquisition on a third-party service, and instead we're leveraging what is our hero application to view Office file, which is Office Online. So here earlier I uploaded my Ignite deck, and you can see here it's rendered, in this case it's PowerPoint, so obviously it's rendered by PowerPoint Online, which is obviously the web equivalent for PowerPoint, and I get the full fidelity. One thing I've got in the roadmap that I'll talk about next is we're going to add co-authoring in Office Online and Yammer. So again, you can collaborate both at the same time using the same document. So again, one thing I want to repeat one more time is it's totally fine to start a group in Yammer if that's my tool of choice. Like, this notion of discovery, I don't get that when I was in the prior experience. You know, if I go to my homepage here, where I can suddenly cut across my organizations, and based on people I follow or topics I care about, I can quickly get up to date. You don't get that experience using the Outlook conversation that I was showing you earlier. The next thing I want to show you is that we've done with Yammer is some of the integration with some of the emerging workloads. So we've released this notion of a video portal. Think of it as YouTube for the enterprise, where potentially you know, it's using a combination of SharePoint and Azure Active Directory. But I'm sure you've got those needs at your organization, where potentially, you know, the new form factors to train people is not so much written text, but it's video. I think there's a statistics from Gartner that said, I think in 5 years, 2/3 of corporate comms will not be text-based, meaning video or GIF or animated GIF. So anyway, so here's the video portal. If you want to find out more, there's lots of content. But you can upload videos for training and trend, or, you know, communications from your CEO to the team, or safety standards, whatever it is. And for each video, what I like is I can easily, you know, viewing a video is one thing. Let's pretend this is a training video. But what's probably more interesting is not so much the video itself, but maybe we're watching this training videos and I might have questions. Hey, HR, or hey, whatever, whoever created that video, you know, does this apply to perf in the mining industry? I'm making this up, but hopefully you get the idea. So here, for any of those assets, I click on the Yammer link on the right, and I can easily start a discussion with my team or with my entire organization, in this case, some video, I'll put a little hashtag. So I can just post that to either, we'll put that to the marketing team, and voila. So again, I can not just watch that video, but either ask questions or engage my team and say, what do you think of this video, or I've got questions, or just, this is an awesome video, you should all watch this. So this is another example of integrating Yammer, bring that notion of social discussion around a specific asset that you get at your organization. And last but not least, let's talk about Delph. So again, remember I was telling you we've delivered the Office Graph back in April. Office Graph is this thing you don't really get to touch as an end user. What you're seeing as an end user is things like Delph. So Delph queries the graph and pulls out, at this moment in time, for you only, here's what matters. So the cards that you're seeing here on this screen are not sorted in chronological order. It's sorted based on how relevant it is to you at this moment in time, how relevant it is to your role, or how strong it is to you. And each card, it could be a document, but it could be a conversation. It could be a conversation in Yammer. It could be a conversation, you know, around an email. It could be a meeting. It could be a Skype call. It could also be some of those cards could be cards from line of business applications. So, for instance, you know, think of this. Could be a sales opportunity from Microsoft Dynamics or from Salesforce, or you know, replace that with whatever line of business app. And then for each card, you can see here, so I've got a set of attributes for each card. So here it tells me, in this case, you know, hey, Sarah Davis modify, in this case, it's a PowerPoint deck. I can see where it is. And you know, I can either go and look at this particular, in this case, PowerPoint. I can just click on it and maybe review this beautiful presentation that Sarah did. And it's bringing up PowerPoint online. I can also find out, let's pretend that I didn't know who Sarah is, because I'm a large organization and she's not in my department nor in the physical building that I'm at on a day-to-day basis. So I can click on Sarah and I can quickly see what has Sarah been up to and what is she working on. And personally, at Microsoft, I use that every time I meet with one of my colleagues, because I can quickly see what they've been up to, which customers they've been working on, what deliverables, and what's happening. So I can switch the discussion to tell me what you're working on, and instead say, hey, I know you're working on XYZ. How can I help you, or tell me about it? And you know, it looks like we've got affinity and the graph things we should connect. You know, how do we partner to put our collective intelligence together, whatever the objective we're trying to achieve. And again, let's pretend like, so I can see what Sarah is up to. I can also see things related to Sarah. So what we're doing here, based on the org chart, we're slicing and we're showing you other things that potentially you might not have found, just because, let's say, you know, maybe Sarah's marketing, you're in IT, but there's a collection of nodes in the network or folks that are potentially you're connected to or have, are working on assets and deliverables that might be relevant to you. And I can also double-click here. You know, I can find out Sarah, who she is exactly in the organizations. I can also praise her if she did a great job, et cetera, et cetera. So that's finding more about a person. Again, this notion of discovery that I was telling you about, which is, you know, yes, I can search, and we got a search box here. But really, the idea is we're doing all the lifting for you, and you can just watch this and refresh it throughout the day. And hopefully, you know, this is going to make you more efficient in terms of what really matters to you at this moment in time. A couple of other things that I want to stress here is a lot of people, when I show this, tend to panic. It's like, hey, are you violating my privacy settings and stuff like that? And absolutely not. The only thing we're showing you is what you already had access if you did a query in Exchange, a query in SharePoint, and so forth. And if you're still having doubt why you're seeing a specific card, you can click on the little people icon here, and it tells you why am I seeing this particular PowerPoint from my colleague Sarah. And then here, in this case, you know, it's a document stored in a SharePoint team site. And you can see, you know, why is it shared to me and so forth. And maybe, you know, Sarah was a little too generous and she was sharing something confidential that I shouldn't be seeing. So maybe I should tell Sarah or stop sharing that document because I'm working out loud and I'm being too generous in the organization. The other thing I can do is I can also, similar to what I was saying earlier, again, it's great to work on great deliverable, but probably what's also interesting is to reach out either to that person or, hey, team, you know, Sarah is in one team, but my team that's working on a specific project, maybe we should check out this particular presentation. So again, I can start a conversation and, you know, tell them to connect with Sarah and, you know, let's, again, I'll pick the marketing team and I can also mention specific person and voila. So again, the graph has helped me discover a piece of content and suddenly I've taken action by saying, hey, someone back in the office, you know, follow up with Sarah or check this out, because it looks like Sarah is doing something similar to what we're also trying to achieve in our team. Last two more things I want to show you about Delve before I go back to slides. So one of my favorite feature is actually I click on the me. Now this is a demo tenant, and you know it doesn't look as interesting as my real work Microsoft demo tenant, but you can imagine that I produce a lot of documents, especially being in marketing. And the me shows me about all my documents. And you can see here, guess what? The picture I've taken earlier of all of you guys is here. Why is that? I think I had too many flat white today. Pretty darn good, though. Right, you guys invented coffee, right? Not Starbucks, right? Is that a myth or a reality? Okay. Why am I seeing the picture of you guys? Because again, the app that I was showing you earlier, I took the picture, and the file gets stored in SharePoint, and the graph indexes signal from a SharePoint document library. And because it's me who posted it, it also happens to be a public group, then that's why it's showing me this card. Right? So you get the kind of end-to-end scenario that potentially, instead of being a picture of your pretty face, it's like maybe it's a real problem. Like, here's a product defect in our assembly line, or here's a product not well placed on the aisle at our favorite retailer, and we should put it next to the beer or the Vegemite section so we can upsell, cross-sell, whatever. You get the idea. So anyway, I love this because, you know, I produce a lot of documents and I sprinkle everywhere. Someone's OneDrive, my OneDrive, SharePoint, everywhere. And this helped me get back on my feet of, you know, where, let me find out that deck I was editing, whether I was the originator of the deck or I was a contributor. So that's why I wanted to show you. And the last thing you can do as well is if it's something you really care about, I'm not going to show you that with my stuff, but maybe I want to go back. You know, I'm traveling here. You know, I don't have time to relook at the executive position guidelines, whatever that is. I can flag it as a favorite. I can really narrow down to what's relevant to me by going back to that favorite tab. So again, a great way to help you get back on your feet, because sometimes the issue is not just discovery whatever people are doing. It's you're wasting time figuring out where is your stuff that you've been producing or contributing. So this is one way that I think this is moving the needle on that front. Okay, so let's switch back to slides. Number one. So we did this. Did the demo. Okay, so a couple of recent successes. Again, typically, all of you, I'm sure you want to, you know, you heard the message, the pitch from Microsoft, but you probably want to find out whatever customers think about some of those recent innovation Office 365. And those are recent case studies we published since September. I know in Australia there's been a ton in the past across industries, but this is, again, just an example, whether it's an airline or Aeon is manufacturing. Pandora is a jewelry manufacturer, small jewelry manufacturer out of Europe. So you can read that. And then back to the point earlier I was making, this one is just came out of the oven. It got published by Gartner, which, you know, every year they do analysts of our stack and against competitors. And, you know, again this year we did pretty well. You know, it's a little hard to see, but we're in the upper right, and yes, you get Jive and IBM and Salesforce there. So again, it's another, you know, if you're not convinced on the value of Yammer and the integration with 365, this might be another data point to help you on that journey. But one thing that's interesting this year, and you can read the prior the prior Magic Quadrant as well, is Gartner's giving us credit on that integration with Office 365. You know, things like, you know, I did show you that, but you know, some of the integration with Yammer, with Delve on the graph, and so forth. You know, that's what ranks us in the leaders quadrant in terms of execution and vision. So that's just recent successes. Now let's talk about roadmap. Before I talk about roadmap, typically one thing I want to reiterate is, you know, things I'm sure you're familiar are moving pretty fast, especially in this day and age of cloud and Office 365. And this slide is a slide I put together just to stress what have we been doing for the past 12 months across Yammer, Office Graph and Delve, and Office 365 group. I'm not going to read every box this year, but I'll just highlight a couple across each of those three workloads. For instance, in Yammer, the very last box on the right is the fact that, you know, we used to be hosted in third-party hoster, and we just moved back in May to three of our U.S. data centers, and that's what this last box means. Why is this important? Well, because from an SLA perspective, whether it's in terms of high availability, disaster recovery, but last but not least, in terms of achieving higher set of third-party security and compliance, it was an important milestone that we're running the service ourselves with our employees in our data centers. Office Graph on Groups, obviously there's a bunch in there that we've announced, you know, like I show you the mobile app, and yes, Groups integrate with Outlook 2016, and the Graph and Delve, I showed you some of those new experiences we did, like adding to favorites or the ability to support, to connect to a SharePoint on-premises, like in a hybrid configuration. So that's what we've delivered. And, you know, hopefully, if you don't have that built in your DNA, I definitely want you guys to follow the Office roadmap or go to the Message Center. I'm sure you'll have the admin app on your phone so you can get notified every time there's something new coming to your tenant. So let's talk now. Next two slides are going to talk about the future. So the first slide is what are we going to do to continue on that journey to help the collaboration experience. And then the slide after that will be, what are we doing to continue to please you guys, mainly IT in terms of administration and compliance. Now, one thing I want to stress is, I only pick the top three hero experiences coming, but there's more, and actually in our roadmap or in blog posts. So again, this is not exhaustive. And then the other question that I get when I deliver this is like, Christoph, what is the time frame? And think of those pretty much between now and the next 6 months, in terms of when those are going to be shipping. So let me go over the first bucket, which is bring your team together, which is supposed to, again, help people get started. Remember that collaboration pain point I was describing earlier? And the first one is, again, something that I'm sure, I don't have the statistics in Australia, but I know in the US, I think in 4 years, almost 40% of the labor will be self-employed, meaning I'm going to have to collaborate. It won't be just within the four walls of my company or within the folks that are in my Azure, in my Active Directory. I'm going to need the expert, the SQL expert, the customer success manager experts, the working out loud expert, the whatever, the Aussie surfing expert. You get the idea. So we're going to add support for our guest access. So again, think of someone who is not part of your domain, so Christoph at Microsoft or Christoph at Gmail. Did I say that? Christoph at Outlook.com. You get the idea. Yammer and Office 365 groups, I already mentioned that, right? We're going to wire, when you create a Yammer group, it's going to really create an Office 365 group, which at the end is an Azure Active Directory group. And again, like I said, the beauty about that, for the end user, the immediate thing is I don't see the difference because I'm still creating still service, self-service, open by default. But the beauty is when we're then going to add some of those workloads that I don't get in Yammer that I'm sure you've been asking us for years, like, again, task management, shared calendar, to name a few. That one, we say we'll do it in the first half of 2016. And then extensibility, again, we think we can continue to move the needle to potentially bring line of business app messages within some of those experiences. Work smarter together. The first one we're going to do is, actually that we've started, is there's a number of investments, especially on that first bullet. It's a big one in terms of scope and some of the innovations. But basically, the Yammer team has been on this journey to, again, help you get work done in the group. And you know, the idea that based on the data and the analytics is like there's a lot of distractions initially in Yammer where people use the old company feed. And that's great, you know, to shoot the breeze and talk about how beautiful it is today on the Gold Coast. But what really matters is, you know, get my attention in that specific project, that specific team that I've got in my Yammer group. So we're doing a number of improvements across Android, iOS, and web to really have you focus in your team. And to give you a concrete example of some of the things we're going to do that we're going to be testing on Android, you know, or any of the mobile app, I'm sure if you get the app today, you're pretty much, when you launch the app, you get an inbox, and you're going from apples and oranges. I should say mangoes and papaya here in the Gold Coast. Pineapples as well, right? Just south of here. So it's costly to go to have context switching between different projects. So instead of starting in an inbox, we're going to start you in the group because we know where you're getting work done, and you just want to get caught up with your team, whatever your team is doing. Rolling out Windows 10 on the Surface Book, right? Everyone's nodding. Everyone's got rolling out Windows 10 on their Surface Book. So we're going to have you start in the group, in the team where you get your work done. And then after that, yes, you can go jump around and see that SharePoint community of interest or the HR or corporate comms group that you belong to. So those are some of the things that we're going to be experimenting and tweaking across both mobile and web. Document co-authoring in Yammer, again, like I showed you, we used to rely on third party to render Office document. We removed that. We're now using our tool of choice, which is Office Online. But one thing that's missing that we're going to be releasing imminently is the ability to co-author a document that's stored, that you put directly in your Yammer group. The last but not least, task management with Office 365 Planner. Again, I'll demo that in the next session. But the idea is potentially in a very visual, board, modern, web-based thing, UI should be able to create tasks and then assign that to my team and visualize, you know, are we late, are we behind, how many things I haven't assigned, and so forth. So that's what Office 365 Planner is. And this one is actually going to be rolling out to first release customers imminently. Read between the lines. And then, so the last bucket, harness your network, which is, again, the mirror of how do we improve this notion of discovery. The first one is, you know, that I forgot to mention, which is, let's pretend here I'm on the Gold Coast for 4 days, attending Microsoft Ignite. And again, I'm sure back in Brisbane, Melbourne, Canberra, wherever you're based, you got a bunch of projects happening. When you go back on Monday, how do you get caught up on what's happening? What did Christoph do in email? What important meeting did I miss? What did the team ideate on in OneNote? What key documents have updated? And then so what we're going to be doing is we're going to give you, within Delve, we're going to scope the signal just for a specific team. So not only you'll discover, potentially we'll push a card of groups that might matter to you in the Delve homepage that I was showing you earlier, but once you're in that group, we'll show you all the things happening in that group across all those modalities. So again, for you, if you're a project manager, or if you're just lurking and want to figure out what is that team all about and what are they working on, you can easily get up to speed on what's going on with this specific project. So that's going to be delivered early next year. Yammer discovery feed and suggested people and groups. This one, again, is back to what I was saying earlier, where it was a big focus to really help people get work done in Yammer. And the idea of, you know, let's make sure that everything that we're showing you is relevant to that group versus making your attention switch to, let's say, the old company feed and things like that. So helping things with the things that are relevant to this specific project is some of the investments we're going to be doing. And last but not least, I think we've demoed it in the keynote earlier, which is, I think, one of the very, very exciting new frontier that we're going to be tackling, which is what we call Delve Analytics. So let me repeat again. Delve today is the discovery of people and content, so that's one dimension. Then, like I said in the first bullet, we're going to add another dimension of Delve helping me discover groups and within a group discover what's happening. So that's the second dimension. And then the third dimension is like Let's pretend I'm an executive at your respective organizations, and I want to get insights. How do people work? Are they collaborating? Meaning, is the engineering team having meetings with the marketing team, or vice versa? Are they working together to serve our customers or to bring products to market and so forth? Me, how much time am I spending on email? What is my average response time to my manager, or vice versa? How long does it take my manager to respond to my email? So again, I wasn't planning to demo that, but this is something that's going to be coming to your tenant very soon. And this is, I think, very exciting because, again, we get all those insights, and we're going to surface that. And that's going to be, to me, a very valuable way to continue on this journey to help you guys, you know, learn of how do people work and what potentially are some of the improvements you can do at your organization to be even more efficient on how you collaborate. So that's Delve Analytics. Definitely track this one very closely as we're getting ready to launch it very soon. Okay. One more slide around IT roadmap. So again, like I said earlier, this is not an exhaustive thing of all the things we're going to do to please you guys. I'm guessing, again, that a lot of you are IT professionals. But again, those are the top three that I've selected. And this one, instead of pivoting across those three pain points that I was describing earlier, I just pivoted around those services to make it easy. So for Office Graph on Delve, there's a number of things we did around, you know, administrative governance and control. Like some of those things that I was showing you, I can discover a document, why is it shared with me, and maybe it shouldn't be shared. You can also have the ability, pardon me, to opt out. You know, if you don't want to contribute your signals to the, you don't want your colleagues to see what you're doing, and so forth. There's different bells and whistles. And you can also opt out at the tenant level if you really wanted to. The second thing is around hybrid. Again, we fully realize that the journey to the cloud is not going to happen overnight. And, you know, you might push one workload to the cloud. You know, maybe it's Yammer, maybe it's, oops, that's it, I've lost my mic. It's the end of the session. Maybe it's email or file share on sync. And there might be very good reasons for legal purposes where you still have a SharePoint farm on premises, you know, for legal or compliance. But again, the idea is for Christoph, the end users, if I'm staffing our team to whatever the problem du jour I need to tackle, wouldn't it be nice to see what my colleagues are working, whether they're working on an on-premises document library or online, I should still see, get all those signals. So that's what we're doing with the SharePoint hybrid support. We're pushing the metadata stored in SharePoint on-premises up to the Office Graph in the cloud, so that my colleagues in Delve will see that signals. And again, you know, I don't need to worry as an end user where it's coming from, but from an IT perspective, suddenly you've broken another silos by surfacing important activity happening with that on-premises SharePoint form. And then last but not least, extensibility. Again, the idea is, especially for the graph, like I was telling you earlier, it's great to see what people are doing within Office 365, but we know very well that, you know, whether we like it or not, as Microsoft, you don't use only 365 at your organization. You might be using a ticketing system, a call center system, a CRM systems, and so forth. So with the API, we're going to give you the ability to push signals into the graph. So potentially, you know, some of the demos, I didn't do it today, but you'll be able to see a card. Here's Sarah Davis is working on this opportunity in Salesforce or in Dynamics, or here's this ticket in Jira or whatever. And then, so that's one way. And then the other interesting aspect that is that you might care about from an extensibility is we'll give you the ability to pull signal. So you'll be able to see for any individual in your organization what's trending and some of the key activities. So think of maybe you can build some corporate apps to help HR onboard new hires from uni, because potentially I know what they're doing, plus you complement that with an HR systems, and suddenly you can have a special custom app for onboarding new hires from at your organization. So that's what we're doing with the API around Office Graph on Delve. Around Office 365 groups, again, I'll go fairly quickly because I'll have a lot more meat in the next session, but there's a number of things we're doing around compliance centers. So supporting litigation hold and e-discovery, if that's what you need, we'll do that this month. Hidden on dynamic membership, those are a popular thing where the membership, instead of you manually, like I was doing in my demo, adding Sarah and Alex, potentially membership of a group is based on an Active Directory property. So in plain English, that means everyone in this building should be part of this team. Or everyone that reports to this vice president, that's how a membership is defined. So you don't have to constantly add or remove people as the members of this list. It's automatically populated based on those Active Directory properties. Again, back to the question earlier from Yammer. You know, I've been using Yammer and I've been managing Yammer for 3 years. This has been a freaking ask from IT, which is, hey, give me dynamic membership because I don't want to manage constantly. You know, if it's a community of interest or a big corporate team, then this is one of the value you'll get by wiring Yammer into Office 365 groups. Reporting lifecycle management, the idea again is similar to what Yammer pioneered, which is, hey, let's give you insights. Whether the you know that team is being very vibrant, highly engaged, or not so vibrant, not so engaged. And potentially, you know, if it's highly engaged, maybe you want to learn what they're doing, what's working so well. And if they're not using it, maybe you want to delete that group, decommission it, you know, release that space because it's no longer required. So we're doing a number of things to help you with that circadian rhythm of group creations and modifications and activities. Yammer, the first one that we're going to do, and this is all probably foreign language here in Australia, but I know in North America and in Europe, highly in demand. But those, you know, EUMC stands for EU Model Clause. HIPAA is a healthcare third-party compliance in the U.S. And then SOC 1 and SOC 2 are just general compliance third-party qualification looking forward. The thing is, back to what I was telling you earlier, we're now running data centers of our own blades, and we're running Yammer, our own data centers, our own blades, but with our own employees. And again, that's what's going to help us achieve some of those third-party compliance. I don't know what the top ones are in Australia, but you get the idea that you know we're moving the needle to get more and more checkbox. So again, there's no excuse not to be using Yammer for whatever purpose. The second one is definitely something that's been dear to anyone in IT, which is, again, when we acquired Yammer, you know, the Yammer team was on the journey to reinvent Active Directory because, again, you know, that was a startup. When we acquired Yammer, we know what our identity provider is in Office 365. It is Azure Active Directory. So let's not reinvent the wheel. We've got a great solution for that. And then so back to what I was saying, we've been on the journey to cut down, you know, some of those legacy things like Yammer Deer Sync, Yammer SSO. You know, I wasn't going to spend too much time on it, but we're going to decommission that. Instead, you should be using Office 365 Deer Sync and whatever ADFS, whatever SSO you've set up, we'll just support that. So you just set one up, and you don't have to set a separate one just for Yammer. And then you can also add, you know, the fact that Yammer is going to integrate with Office 365 Group, that's also deeper integration with Azure Active Directory. And then the last thing that a lot of customers have been asking, which is Office 365 Analytics, which is, hey, you got a great product stack with Power BI and some of the slicing and dicing that you can do natively in Office 365. And we're going to do that. We're going to leverage all that rich data and engagement data that we've got today in Yammer, and we're going to pipe that into some of the tenant reports you get out of the box. And then if you want to go further, you'll be able to put that in a Power BI dashboard and slice the data at will to figure out, you know, what's happening with that team or just general pulse of the patient. Highly engaged are your colleagues in Yammer. So that's just a glimpse of what we're doing with IT. I think I've got one more slide, and I'll take questions. Okay. So this is the last slide before I open up for questions. But again, so hopefully let's recap. I've showed you, you know, what is our product strategy to help people collaborate? What are we doing to help people get started quickly? What are we doing to support the diverse needs of collaboration? Like, there's no such thing as one size fits all, but yet all those apps should have leveraged a common set of layers, whether it's set of infrastructure, set of a single definition of a team, or more importantly, accrue to that single layer that is Office Graph. I showed you some of those innovations that we have today. And then last but not least, you know, I've showed you what's coming in about the next 6 months, depending on each feature that are going to be coming to your next tenant. So with that, you know, again, shameless plug. Hopefully you can make it downstairs in Arena 2, where I'll double-click specifically on Office 365 group, and I'll show you more demos I haven't shown you now. The second thing I want to say is we got a lot of IP, a lot of intellectual property available on fasttrack.office.com. So a lot of things to help you get started, which is, hey, maybe I'm rolling at Yammer. You know, all the things that we've been learning over the years are available there, like templates, plans, and some of the things, you know, to help you define what is the business case, what is the scenario that we're trying to tackle, and then go about, do, you know, roll that whatever scenario you need to, you want to try this out, and measure, and hopefully, you know, you're successful, and you can expand that to another scenario, or if you fail, fail fast, and adapt that. So there's a lot of IP available. And then the other thing with Fast Track that we announced in October is Fast Track has also a great onboarding capabilities to help you. You know, if you get 150 users and more, we got actually feet on the ground, engineers that are going to help you with your on-premises, you know, setting up your Deer Sync, and maybe you're migrating your Exchange from on-premises to the cloud. So definitely something free of charge that I'm sure you're all entitled to that you should be leveraging to help you get started with the cloud journey. And then last but not least, I do mean it. Yes, I definitely want to hear the good, bad, and ugly on this session, but it's actually a much bigger statement of give us feedback. You know, give us feedback on either what you like, what you dislike, what can we improve? Is it the product? Is it the messaging? Is it a wish list around our roadmap? Or is it just plain documentation that is missing that potentially we should improve, whether it's us marketing, whether it's engineering, and so forth. So definitely don't be shy. I'd put my email on my Twitter in the initial deck, but I think the team removed that. If not, it's in the event portal. And definitely tell me, and I'll be more than happy to figure out, you know, what's working for you or what can we improve, and pass that to whatever team, whether it's me in marketing that needs to take action or engineering. And I put at the bottom some key resources. You know, the Office 365 network, you should all be part of this, period, no exception. I don't care if you're on-prem or in the cloud, but, you know, tap the collective intelligence of all the other customers worldwide. It's free, and I'm sure you're going to learn a ton of things. So it's great also to interact with engineering or marketing or any other roles at Microsoft. And I put a bunch of other links. The roadmap, which I mentioned earlier, and then the blogs and so forth. So with that, I think I got other compulsory slide that I'll show you, and then I'll take questions. So I already talked about 365 network. No exception. You should all be part. That's it. Right? You agree? Okay, good. Complete your eval. So I'll just, I won't be offended if you need to leave, but I'll just open up for our Q&A, and we got about 13 minutes. So thank you very much for your time. I'll be taking questions next. Yes.
What about if you start off in an Office 365 group for collaboration and then people get better at it and fail, but they want to follow you and keep so?
So that's a good question. How about if you start in Office 365 groups and they want to leverage a team site? Actually, I'm going to talk about it in the next session, but I'll give you the glimpse. We're going to do deeper integration with SharePoint and Office 365 groups. And there's different use cases. First, I got an existing team site, and I want to leverage Office 365 groups. So I got a team site I've been using for a year or two, and I want to leverage some of those new workloads that I don't have today. So we'll give you the ability after the fact for an existing team site to link to that single membership that is Office 365 groups. So that's one way. The second thing we're going to do is on the document library that's in Office 365 groups, you don't have parity with all the capabilities we get in a document library. So advanced things like workflow, tagging, you don't get that today. We're going to unleash that, so you'll get full parity. All the things you can do in a document library in a SharePoint team site, you'll get that in 365 groups. And last but not least, we also think in the future that when you create a group, pretty much like all the bubbles, you should will spin up a team site. So, and similarly, when you create a team site, you'll spin up a will create a group by default. So again, those are the three areas where we're going to make deeper integration with SharePoint team sites. Sorry? Planner? Yeah, absolutely. Well, how about Planner? Yes. So yes, Planner will feed into, will surface Planner in a team site. Now, one thing I want to be clear, it's not going to sync with a task list. I want to be very clear about that. But yes, you'll get Planner view in your team site if that's the lens you want to look at. Yes. Yeah.
But then the new app, Office 365 Groups, is it likely that similar things will happen, like within the app launcher, there'll be a little groups box, or is that app just out of necessity that they need to get something to work with? As in, like, will groups ever be a node up the top of it?
No, so that's a very good question. Let's be clear, the app I was showing you, when I speak English, is an Outlook app, pivoting around conversation. It's called Outlook Groups. I know it's a little misleading, but yeah, Outlook Groups. Office 365 Groups will stay at foundation. Remember, like, I've drawn this a different ways, but this is really Active Directory, right? So over time, back to the question earlier about SharePoint, but some of those apps over time, you know, maybe when I come back in a year, all those apps will use all of those three layers. Like, again, you know, some of those apps don't use, some of them use both, some of them use part of it. So again, groups is really the single definition, that single membership that flows across the suite, and that will stay there. But some of the apps start to leverage some of those, that single definition. Like one thing I'll show in the next session, I know you're going to ding me because I keep saying come back. But I can, in Skype, I can start a conversation in Skype for Business. Because guess what? Skype queries the global address list. Group is an object, so I can start a ad hoc meeting with my team from Skype, wherever on my phone. So that's what I'll demo next. I just spoiled it. But it's the same. So what my point is, like, you got all those experiences that are leveraging that single definitions, whatever is the entry point. There was another question. Yes?
So you mentioned that Yammer is being brought up to the US data site.
Yes. So the question is, A, we brought Yammer, we got Yammer now running in three of our US data centers. How about down under and Europe and everywhere else? And there's nothing I can share at this stage. So really, I don't know if the question is from a latency, performance, or just a compliance, or both. Yeah, I don't have anything to share today. So, but you know, one day you can imagine that all our data centers, whether it's, you know, we've announced last week, we're going to be running in the UK, we're going to have one in Germany, Office 365 on Azure. Obviously, you get one here in Australia for over a year. So one day, hopefully, we'll be in all our data centers, but that time horizon to get there might be years. So, again, what I would really challenge, though, is like, because I know there's banks using Yammer down under. I'm not going to name drop any name, but there's some fairly regulated industries that are happily using it. So I don't know if it's really, is it really a law that you can't use Yammer? Is it really a data classification? Let me get to the point of it. Because like it's not like one size fits all. There might be things that are very well Yammer suited for, and there's things, like you said, that maybe should stay in email or whatever are the modes of communications because of compliance. So again, think of some of the, I don't know what the use case is, it direct interaction with your customers, but I'm sure within those customers, there's valid use cases where Yammer can be used without breaking you into or putting you into jail, right? Okay, any more questions yet back there? So the question, licensing question. Can Office Video be used with our kiosk license? I'll have to follow up on that. I don't know. That's a good one. For those that don't know, our kiosk is our it's meant to be for our deskless workers, and obviously it's the cheapest of all our service plans. So I don't know. I can follow up if we're going to enable it. I like the way you think. I think everyone should have access to videos, but I didn't know it was a limit, actually. No, I think you're right. I knew it's only for the enterprise plan. So, that's true. You can use the embed code, but that from an okay, like, I want the app probably on my phone. It's not, I mean, embed code and, you know, but, it, you know, I can follow up. Yes. Yeah. Where does it So the whereas the files in terms of CODA and in groups, and I know this is confusing and you know, bad design, we've learned, but at the end of the day, it's a SharePoint document library. Okay, so I know the UI says OneDrive, it's SharePoint. So it counts towards your SharePoint storage. Now, one thing that, again, there's room for improvement that we're going to tackle is today, when you go in your SharePoint admin, you don't see the all those site collections that we're spinning for every group. So we're going to surface that in the SharePoint tenant admin, and then we're going to go a step further where you really want to, like, that marketing group, we know those marketeers are very creative and putting huge video. I want to cap it because I want Christoph to eat all my SharePoint CODA. Christoph should put his video on the video portal or whatever Christoph's not supposed to do. So we're going to give you the ability to set quotas. So at least, first of all, you want to get insight to see how is your quota being used. And then if you want to be a little more restrictive, set quotas for each of the group files. End of the day, let's repeat it. It's all those files goes against your SharePoint storage. And I see the conversation goes against your Exchange storage. Yeah, you can sync the document library. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I do this. So you go here. Now, where's my, let's pick a file here, a beautiful 805. And let me show you. Here, you see sync right here? So you can sync it. It's a document library.
Question relevant to the.
So hang on, is that clear? So if I want to bring it offline because I'm going to be on a Virgin Australia flight for 16 hours, I can do that. So yes, you can sync. So what is the question?
So a lot of us have more than one.
Yeah.
Live ID.
Remember, this is tenant ID. This is not a live ID. This is not consumer OneDrive. This is Office 365 OneDrive for business.
Okay.
This is Office 365 OneDrive for business.
Yep.
This is not my Christoph at Hotmail OneDrive that I use to share pictures on the Gold Coast with my family. I mean, I can follow up. I don't know. I don't know. I don't use. I mean, I've got a demo machine. I don't mix identity. I agree. Typically, I got one persona per Windows session. You're probably right. There's a limitation on the same Windows session having split personality. I shouldn't say split personality. A dev environment versus your production. It might be a little. It might not behave very well. Sorry, I didn't get the question about OneDrive.
No, it's just the new sync client has a new OneDrive consumer and for business
I don't know if it's going to solve. I mean, this is Office 365 commercial. This is not has nothing to do with your.
And now the new sync client?
It's the same one. I agree. But this one, this sync is the old sync client, not the modern one that we're working on. Sorry? Good. I'll pass that on to one of my colleagues who used to live here. Okay. Well, it looks like almost everyone's left, and then I need to dash down. So again, thank you very much. I'll be around for another 30 hours, so if you got questions, definitely don't be shy. Cheers, guys.